Good morning, everyone. So, we're here for Father's Day. Anyone got anything hand-painted as a gift today? Yeah, you know the people with primary school kids there. It's Father's Day. It's a day where we get to celebrate our fathers and fatherhood. However, as Shell pointed out last week and gave us a glimpse, not all families are ideal. And indeed, some families are highly dysfunctional. Now, as we saw from her sermon, Jacob was a flawed individual and he led a flawed family. And he was not alone. His grandfather Abraham was no slouch in the imperfect stakes. And yet God chose to work through this family. And they eventually became his people, and God's plan for the redemption of humanity was fulfilled through them. And God often chooses to work through families. Each and every one of us here has a father. It's a fact of life. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are no longer with us. We each have either happy or sad memories of our fathers, and often we have a combination of both. So I will declare up front, I had a wonderful father. When he was alive, I knew that he loved me. He was present for most of the major events of my life. He was there when I lost my first tooth. He taught me how to ride a bike. He taught me how to drive a car. He baptized me, and he was there when I walked away from the church. He was there when I got married, and he held my daughters soon after they were born. He was there when I returned to the church and became a regular member of a faith community again. Now, he went to be with the Lord in 2018, and one thing I'm sorry I can't share with him is my journey to becoming a pastor. But this journey would never have happened if my father wasn't there to be with me as I matured and mentor me and show me what love and grace look like when they are lived out day by day. And yet, despite the nostalgia, he was human and he had his flaws. Now, as has been acknowledged before, I also want to acknowledge that some of your experience might not be as rosy or less than optimal, as they say in customer service speak. Some of you might still carry the trauma of abuse or the haunting questions of abandonment of the present yet distant dad. However, another thing we all have in common, as has been reiterated this morning, and I think God wants us to get this because none of us colluded and yet we all have the same message. We all have our Heavenly Father. When Jesus gave us a template how to pray, the first words are, "Our Father in heaven, Heavenly Father." God is the Father of the fatherless. If your experience has been less than optimal, it's okay because you have God and God is your Father. The Bible is full of instances where God steps in and, as a loving father, takes broken people mired in hopeless situations, and he loves them and he redeems them and lovingly transforms them into his adopted children so they can then partner with God in his mission to redeem humanity. But I know from personal experience, in my relationship with God, I have sometimes felt abandoned, adrift, alone, unloved, wondering how the promises expressed in the Bible applied to me and whether God had a specific plan for me, an individual calling, or maybe I just didn't matter to him or was less than useful for his purposes. Are we there yet, Dad? How long until we stop How many tests must I endure? How many times do I have to fail before you give up on me? Why don't you answer me? Why are you so active in other people's lives, and why do you feel so distant from me? Why did you make me the way that you did? Now, all of these questions and more are questions that I have directed to God at some stage or another. And yet I know that my heavenly Father loves me more than my earthly father ever did. And I know my earthly father wouldn't mind me saying that, because we both love the Lord and we know that we will spend eternity together in the presence of our Lord. Now, my father was a war orphan. He was barely a toddler when my grandfather went off to war, and he never returned. A fact that fundamentally shaped my father. And today we will have a quick look at another biblical character that grew up without his earthly father, although through different circumstances. As we move through the life of Moses, we will quickly just zoom in on three scenes. In seeing how God cared for Moses, we will also see how the love and care of our heavenly Father has for us. As we hear these stories, we can take comfort and be encouraged that God loves us and wants the best for us, even when it's not directly apparent. So, about this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to go get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little baby was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." So, before you were born, God loved you and cared for you. The Bible says so, and it's true. Now, the life of Moses is well known to those of us that grew up in the church. As a child, he was condemned to death. This condemnation had nothing to do with what he had done. After all, the decree for his death was declared before he was even born. As a boy born to the descendants of Jacob, he was seen as a threat by the current Pharaoh of the day. This Pharaoh had forgotten how Egypt had been blessed through Joseph and overlooked the salvation of Egypt in the passed through the family of Jacob. And now the Israelites were only useful as slaves, and even then their fertility was menacing to the Pharaoh, and he devised a plan to protect himself and his position. And so Moses was meant to die. However, his heavenly father, with the trust of his earthly family, found a way for him to live. However, that way meant that they would be separated, and they effectively had to abandon Moses first in a basket of reeds on the shore of the Nile, and then as a young boy into the house of the daughter of the Pharaoh, effectively to be raised as her son. The turnaround in fortunes of Moses from being on death row to a prince of Egypt is the stuff of fairy tales and Hollywood extravaganzas. You might be thinking, if only that thing happened to me. And yet, this is exactly what the Father has done for each and every one of us that calls upon Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We too were born under the penalty of death. Paul tells us when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Before we were even born, we're basically sentenced to death. And yet our Heavenly Father did not abandon us. In the same way that he cared for Moses, he cares for us and graciously has provided for our salvation. And the same as Moses becoming a prince, each and every one of us has been adopted into the family of the King of Kings, adopted siblings of the Son of God, Jesus himself. God did not abandon Moses, and he did not abandon me. When I felt that God was most absent, he was quietly working away in my life and in my heart, saving me from myself, saving me from the penalty of sin. And it's the same for you. God loves you and wants the best for you. Most of all, he wants you to live. We know that the penalty of sin is death, not just in our humanity and our fleshly bodies that one day will expire, but the eternal death of separation from God, a permanent separation between us and the one that created us. Through Jesus, our Father loved us before we even existed and made a way for us to be rescued, to survive and to thrive. As Moses grew and matured, he still carried his birth identity. He may have been the son of the daughter of the Pharaoh, but he was still a Jew, and he cared about his kin. He also had a bit of a temper, which resulted in him killing an Egyptian overseer that was beating a Jewish slave. To escape the anger of the Pharaoh and the penalty for his crime, Moses ends up in Midian, which in those days was about as far as you could get from Egypt. We all know the story. Moses sees a burning bush. Now, it's the desert. He's seen burning bushes before. But this bush isn't being consumed. He's curious. He goes, has a look, and God has a chat to him. Then the Lord told him, and I've highlighted some phrases there that I just love in this, in these two verses. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Our Heavenly Father is a living God. He's not a mere idol made out of wood or stone or metal. He's not a character in a fable. He is a person who sees, who hears, who is aware of our oppression, our distress, and our suffering. If your father was absent, here is a father who sees you. If your father was distant, here is a father who hears you. If your father was disengaged, here is a father who is aware of you. If you had a good father, he was just living out the characteristics of God in his own life. God is the perfect father. He is the one that our heart longs for. And God is not only sharing in our plight, God comes to rescue us and then invites us into partnership. More than that, he sends us. He is not content to just share in our suffering. He sends us to help others in their suffering. He calls us to see what he sees, to be aware of the injustices he is aware of, and then to do something about it. God sent Moses to be his agent, to be his special ambassador to Pharaoh. And he also sends us. Now, Moses didn't go straight away. He saw certain problems with God's plan. Moses knew his own weaknesses and shortcomings. He was a murderer with an anger management problem. He was stuck between worlds, seen as Hebrew by the Egyptians and as Egyptian by the Hebrews. He couldn't speak properly or think straight, and above all, he was comfortable with his sheep out in the desert. God could send someone else. He was done. Thanks, God, but no thanks. What's your excuse? I know mine. I couldn't study theology because I just didn't have enough time. Or if I had time, I certainly didn't have enough money to study and care for a family at the same time. My heart wasn't in it, or my temperament wasn't suitable. I had a lot of excuses. I still do. But in the same way that God prepared the way for Moses, he called me and prepared the way for me. Are we there yet? Are you there yet? Maybe you're still arguing with God. Maybe you're not comfortable with what he is calling you to. That's okay. That's totally human. Just know that God loves you and that he wants the best for you, and that you have to be transformed for that to happen. The Father who knew you before you were born loves you, and he did what he had to do to ensure your survival. And once he has saved you, he has plans for you. God does not rescue us just to leave us aimless and adrift. His plans for you might not involve studying theology or leading Israel out of Egypt, but they do involve you acting as some sort of agent for God in the place where you are, in your family, in your community, at your place of work, in all of your interactions with those around you from day to day. And so Moses went, and he did, and he struggled, and there was a lot of arguments between him and the Jews, between him and God. I read the life of Moses and I go, he was right at the very start. I could understand why he didn't want to do this. But Moses was not forgotten by God, and neither are you. He cared for Moses and he cares for you. The same way that he was preparing Moses, he is preparing you. Time spent waiting for God is not time wasted. Two verses at the end of Deuteronomy. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab, but to this day no one knows the exact place. So let's reiterate the story. Moses had disobeyed God. At Meribah, God told Moses to speak to the rock in order that water might come out. Now, he was being assailed by the Hebrews who were complaining, "There's no water. What are you doing to us? You're killing us." And instead of speaking to the rock and showing God's glory, Moses, in his anger or impatience or frustration, whacks the rock. What's wrong with that? He did exactly the same back at Rephidim like 40-odd years before. That's what God had ordered Moses to do at that time. But see, God wanted to do something new. And instead of trusting God, Moses fell back on what had worked before. We have two people here that are starting something new, and it's wonderful, but it takes a lot of trust. And God was rightfully angry. And God punished Moses. He said, "You're not going to enter the promised land." That's rough. "But God, I've just given, how much is it, 40 years of my life to this calling that you've called me to. And one little thing at the end, and you do this?" And yet, here we see that God still cared for Moses even after his death. We too are sentenced to death. And our earthly body will die one day. Why? If we are saved and set right with God through Jesus Christ, why do we still die? Because we are sinners and because the penalty of sin is death. But just as God was there to look after Moses after his death, God will also be there to look after us when we pass away. Because we are not destined for eternal death. Because God still cares for us after we die. God's care for us, God's love for us, God's provision for us is not for this life only. And again, I did not collude with Karen in this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. Moses disobeyed God and he paid the penalty for it. But he was not abandoned by God. It is because God loves us that he holds us accountable. "I am a sinner and worthy of death, but in Jesus the penalty for my sin is paid." That sacrifice is too great for me to take lightly. Through faith in Jesus, I am made right with God and do not have to spend eternity separated from him. Our Heavenly Father cares for us even after we die. How about you? Do you have that assurance? Now, every father leaves a legacy. Some legacies are good, some are less than ideal. Our Heavenly Father has also left us a legacy in his revelation in Scripture and in the life of his Son Jesus. If your earthly father was less than ideal, that's okay, because we are still made in God's image. We are all his children, and God is the Father of the fatherless. And this Father will never let you down or abandon you or abuse you. God loves us and wants to be with us. God loves us and provides for us. As fathers, we are called to reflect God's love and faithfulness into the life of our children. And as adopted children into his family, we are called to community. And I'd just like to draw our attention to what's taped behind the sound desk there. There are certain elements of that life of community. And this week, we look at connect groups. The best way to make use of this community is to actually participate in the life of this church. If you're new here, or maybe not so new, and you have not yet joined a connect group, can I now take the opportunity to invite you to do so? Get to know someone new, study the Bible in the company of others, or just share your week with people that are walking the same journey. Just as the Jews had Moses and the cloud to lead them through the desert, we are not meant to wander this earth alone. Journeys are best undertaken in company. If God seems distant, then trust that he is working. Be curious about the burning bushes in your life. Don't walk away. Lean into God's promises, and he will reveal his purposes to you. He is the Father that sees us, he hears us, and he is aware of our plight, and he comes to rescue us. Our Heavenly Father loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, we love you, but we can only love you because you first loved us. Thank you for everything that you do for us. Thank you that you are with us and that will never leave us. And I pray that, secure in the knowledge of that, we can live out that love and that grace in our lives as fathers, as sons, as daughters, as co-workers, as friends, as random strangers. And I pray this in the name of the one that makes all this possible, Jesus Christ.